Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode in Life Design with Linda Sachs. In my summer sessions, this is session three or four, some pre-recorded shows that I'm doing as I'm going to be out for the month of July, and I've really been having a really great morning, actually, with all my trailblazing guests. Each one has been so different. This next guest that I have is really quite special, and not to insult the other three, but I saved this guest for last. I hope that you all enjoy the fact that Sharon is coming out today and sharing her personal story and going public for the really first time. So bear that in mind as we all learn how cathartic it is to share stories, and let's honor her for her journey from her darkness to her light. So let me tell you a little bit about Sharon. Sharon left an abusive marriage a number of years ago. I know that she has one daughter. I'm aware of that. And she may have more children. I apologize if I didn't know that. But I know she has one beautiful daughter. She left her marriage, and she began her healing journey back from addiction, alcohol addiction. It's been a long one for Sharon. I didn't know her then. I know her now, and she is really such a stellar and amazing, strong woman and human being. I can only imagine. So I'm anxious to hear what she has to say. But she did set herself on a path to really learn the ultimate way to how to live a vital life. I know firsthand that it is both her passion and her mission to help women fall in love with themselves and live a vitalicious life, as she calls it. She is the founder of something called the Vavoom Factor. It is a 5-step process taking women from sickness into good, proper health. Sharon's program, Living Life on a Natural High, sets people free from addictions, including sugar and carbohydrate addiction, which are big ones. Sharon is a graduate from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. She is a holistic health counselor. She is also certified through Designs for Health and has studied NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. A quick backstory: the first day, actually, that Sharon and I finally met face-to-face. We had met on Facebook, and we had been corresponding back and forth and finally decided to meet for lunch. I think about this all the time, Sharon, by the way, and I had to stick this in my intro. I can remember it was a really hot, sunny day. I drove to Santa Monica, and we decided to meet for lunch and eat outside on a patio. I had just parked my car, new to L.A., and I was boiling, like boiling hot, dripping, hot, wet. But I should have really sat down and just had a glass of water. Of course, I asked for a glass of white wine. So Sharon sat down beside me. The waiter came over, and the waiter asked if Sharon wanted, you know, anything to drink. And she said, "Oh, no, thank you. I'll just have some water," like a real lady. And she looked at me, and I said, "Oh, you don't want to join me?" And she said, "No, I'm a recovering alcoholic." Well, you know, it's very rare that I would ask for a glass of wine for lunch, especially in the heat of the summer, since I have been alcohol-free probably for a year and a half now, and probably some of it through Sharon's inspiration. I want her to know that. But I felt so uncomfortable that day, and I thought, wow, what a lady. She really just made me so at ease. So I wanted to kind of stick and pitch that in. I've been both personally and professionally watching Sharon, and looking forward to her telling and sharing her coming out story today. She's a role model, as I've said. She's a strong and genuine woman, and I know she's going to be helping so many women in the future turn their worlds around. So, Sharon, are you there?
Hi, Linda. I am here.
Great.
Yes, I remember our lunch with fondness. I want to do it again.
Well, we definitely will. And since then, I'm telling you, I've gone to wheatgrass and green juice and the whole thing.
So I know you have.
I know. So I am on your train and on your wagon, woman of vitality. But, you know, we talked for a while, and I'm just so glad, because from the first day that I met you, and people come into my path that way, and I know that I'm really kind of their gateway sometimes, or a bridge or a portal. And I just kept getting these signs that you have something so special to share with other women. And there's so many other women that you're going to be out there helping, because you not only have gone through this experience firsthand, so you're empathic, you're also caring, and you're a professional, and you just, this is your thing. So thank you so much for coming onto the show and being willing and wanting to share your story. I'm really going to turn the mic over to you and let you just get yourself started and run and share whatever you choose to share, and we'll just take it from there. So thank you again.
Thank you, Linda. That sounds great. You know, when we met up for lunch that day, it's funny because I was just starting to vocally share something that had been a big secret for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, really grateful to be able to share my story in a bigger way now. So I'll just kind of start with, you know, remembering back. And I remember dreaming as a little girl what I wanted to be when I grew up, you know, like I think we all did. And mm-hmm. the answers, of course, were as diverse as a teacher, a ballet dancer or a ballerina, a fashion designer, and a zoo veterinarian.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Yeah, I know, because I love animals, you know, so
nice.
I can like the plan.
Okay.
And in reality, I really did work in the world of fashion and design as an adult. However, never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that I would end up in my 40s as an alcoholic, in an abusive marriage,
mm-hmm.
double alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
At that time I was living in a beautiful town in Northern California. We had a darling house. We really just put our heart and soul into it. I have a daughter that I absolutely adore. But I was living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And as most alcoholics and their families do, living a lie that everything was wonderful. And it probably looked wonderful on the surface. But the sad fact was, by that point, I couldn't even look myself in the mirror. I was
mm-hmm.
so ashamed of what was looking back and all the labels that were with that. You know, surely I felt like that person wasn't me. And in fact, it was like, who the heck is that person, and how did she get into my body? You know, that huge realization, like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was really a very shy and introverted little girl, and I was always quite happy with my nose in a book or doing art projects, you know, more of a loner. And the one place that I allowed myself to shine was in ballet, and I loved to perform on stage, which was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something there. But there was nothing in my childhood, and I can't think of anything that's terribly abusive or traumatic. But alcoholism of family members was always kind of there. You know, it was that little hidden kind of secret, the aunt, the uncle, the grandfather, all kind of hush-hush, not to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, unpleasant things really weren't to be talked about in general in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I now really understand so much more about genetics and neurotransmitter deficiencies, and I know now that I was genetically low in at least serotonin. And of course,
wow.
I mm-hmm. discovered that recently. I, you know, or who knew that back then?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on my path of as I was growing, as I grew older, getting into my late teens, early 20s, I started finding that alcohol was that great little entree into social functions that just weren't very comfortable for me.
Right.
You know, group parties and functions, it was so much easier with a glass of wine or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I pretty much drank alcohol mostly at that point, like I you know, think most young adults do at social functions. But the thing is, for me, it was really to feel a part of the occasion and to overcome my shyness.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really using it, which I don't know that I was so aware of, but I was using it as a coping mechanism.
Okay.
Because it worked. So it's probably not a surprise that the man that I chose to marry was very outgoing socially. He was like that life of the party, you know, that very outgoing kind of guy. Everybody loved, you know, big guy.
Hmm.
And it really worked well early in our marriage when we were all young, you know, we were all socializing a lot and had lots of parties to go to. You know, it was all fun. And, of course, his group of friends became mine, and then they and his family, you know, they were all just much bigger drinkers than I was used to. But, of course, that lifestyle became mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a really open policy at our house. We're constantly hosting guests, you know, and it was always, you know, come on in. You know, the bar's open, you know, it's always food around, always a fridge. I cooked for everyone, often at the drop of a hat. You know, I could create a meal for three, and suddenly there were six, and I just learned to quickly, you know, adapt to that, and there was always plenty because I loved cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as life started taking its ups and downs, and as my husband got more mired in his own frustrations in life and addictions, life really started to take a turn. You know, it wasn't quite so fun anymore. And he was already getting very erratic in his behaviors, like this emotional up and down. He was prone to rages. He thrived on drama. So there ended up being this constant flurry of drama around. You know, sometimes kind of fun, but it was getting this very hard edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with him, I was either up on a pedestal that he created or else a piece of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no gray area. It was always, I was just wonderful or I was crap.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I acted like Martha Stewart, you know, that good little housewife, and I did it well, then I was the good wife. But none of this, you know, none of this stuff comes all at once. It's a disease that, like, creeps into you over time. And with somebody like myself who had low self-esteem anyway,
mm-hmm.
that repetition of being told you're less than really starts becoming something you believe, and I did.
Right.
You know, I already had that low self-esteem. I wasn't terribly confident.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I certainly had my moments. But overall, you know, I was... it was easier to believe the bad.
Right.
One morning, I got to take a moment here. One morning, I got a call from my brother that literally changed my life. He had a horrible time to make the call to tell me that our sister passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very sudden. It was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
My life just shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to know that my sister was 5 years older than me. My brother's 7 years older. But she had been like my big sister, my second mom, my best friend, all rolled into one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just devastated. I didn't know what to do with the pain. It was just unreal. And I didn't have any way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even my husband finally said, you know, like, well, just get over it. I didn't know how to get over it. I mean, it was like a piece of me ripped out.
Yeah.
And the only way I knew to deal with it was to numb myself with alcohol.
Of course.
So alcohol was now no longer for a fun social event or, you know, getting through a little cocktail party chatter. It was how I was coping. On a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
it was hell.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, gaining weight, looking bloated, I wasn't sleeping well, and I frankly didn't care.
Right, of course.
You know, just, it was like, I just, hard to even describe where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
But one morning, finally, I woke up, and I looked, and I saw my daughter looking at me, and the hurt in her eyes mm-hmm. was incredible. And that was the turning point for me. The light switch went on, and I just had to think, oh, good God, what the heck am I doing with my life and hers?
Right.
And I just remembering just rolling over and feeling this really kind of wonderful sense of surrender. And that day I went into detox.
Wow.
If I do this, I can't do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were still married. You
still
needed
married.
To leave your house and leave your daughter with
yeah.
your husband.
Yeah.
Remove
and
yourself. She
yeah,
was your angel. Then what happened?
Yeah. Well, I went into detox and I had to stay there for a few days. And then I went into an outpatient program.
Okay.
And, you know, and I was sure that by my doing all of this, you know, I guess I was doing it for myself, but I was mostly still doing it for other people.
Right.
And I thought that doing all of this, that this would fix the problems in my marriage, you know,
mm-hmm.
because clearly the problems that we were facing must be all my fault.
Right.
You know, it was like all that self, like, oh, you know, God, it must be me. But, you know, as a year went by of being sober and as my husband's moods just kept escalating, and his abuse was really getting out of control. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit more maybe why that is, but at the time you're just like going, what? I don't know what to do here. And he was starting to verbally abuse our daughter as well. And I it was like, that's it. I just knew it was time to get my daughter and I out of the madness. I mean, you know, there's a point at which, you know, yourself, you know, word I'm searching for, but, you know, your self-protection gets in the way. I don't care if you're, you know, low self-esteem or not. It's like, I got to do something here. So we left.
Amazing. How old was your daughter?
She was 14.
Wow, you and I are very similar in the age ranges.
Yeah.
What happened next?
Yeah. So I had to start over. I started my life completely over in my mid-40s.
Mm-hmm. Well, he let you go, right? He did let you go.
Yeah. Well, he kind of had to let me go.
Well,
I walked. Well, no, there's other things I'm not going to share that made it so he had to stay away from us.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
all we care about is the result in the end was that you accomplished what you needed to.
Right.
So what happened next?
You know, as scared as I was, and I'm not even sure where this came from, but I made a big vow to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that I was never going to do something in my life anymore that I didn't want to.
Okay.
You know, beautiful. It was like I just sort of put my stake in the ground and just said, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to start living my life the way I want to live my life. I didn't even know what that was yet.
Right.
I just knew there was something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, where all this came from, I'm not really sure, but
mm-hmm.
thank God it did. It
right.
came. I'm glad I listened
mm-hmm.
to it.
That's a really good message for listeners that are out there.
Yeah,
you were
open
enough to
mm-hmm.
know that you were being sent messages that were critical for your to better your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, what that was, I don't know, but I did listen. And so, you know, I continued in with my interior design business because it's what I knew. I had to do something, you know, quickly. But I'm really grateful to a friend, and she introduced me to a skincare company that she was working with. And
mm-hmm.
of all things, you're probably going, well, what the heck is that, you know? But
mm-hmm.
it gave me an introduction to a life that I didn't even know existed.
Beautiful. What kind of life was that? Getting out and meeting women that were working and networking
mm-hmm.
and getting confidence.
Yeah, so it because of the self-development that this company encouraged,
mm.
I started listening and going to events with people like Bob Proctor and Jack Canfield and, you know, the amazing Les Brown.
Oh, nice.
Martha Leader.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I could go on and on with the people that I was introduced to. And it was like, wow, you know, I was hooked.
Well, everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just like, wow, who
beautiful.
Are these people? I just
mm-hmm.
started soaking it up. And it really opened my eyes to that coaching and self-improvement and speaking world, you know, that
okay.
I just really didn't even know was there.
Okay. Then what did you do?
So then I joined women's groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually became the president of one of them and a board member of another. And so very slowly but surely, I started finding my own voice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was amazing, and it was exciting.
Beautiful, and you realized you weren't that little girl that really didn't know what she wanted. You just needed the right time and the right place to for your voice to find itself.
Yeah, and
so how long ago was that? How many years back is that?
That was about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Or actually, no, maybe a little more, about 7 years ago.
All right.
So then the second thing that happened that actually pertains even more to my life now is that I ended up taking a detox cleanse class, and that was to sort of test out some health products that I had and was using and, you know, referring people to. And it was absolutely amazing, amazing what happened with that. Because obviously, you know, stopping drinking alcohol, and then, of course, those snacky foods that you tend to eat when you drink alcohol, you know, the chips and the crackers and the, you know, sausage and the cheese and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, that has already started changing my body. But this detox class taught me so much more, like what's happening in my body. What foods I was eating maybe weren't agreeing with me, you know, how this all went together. And it really taught me to start listening to what my body wanted. So now I was finally listening to, you know, some of the things in my head, and I also started listening to my body. So there's that mind and body connection that started clicking in, and it was amazing.
So what did you? What changes did you see?
Just, you know, my body resculpturing, and again, clarity, even more clarity. I mean,
I love that. Okay.
You know, leaving alcohol behind, of course, added some clarity. But this started really making it, you know, life much more clear, much easier, more energy, lots of, you know, just that va-voom factor that I call it, you know, just so much more vitality all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people started asking me advice on what I was eating, what was I doing. You know, they were like, really like, oh, what are you doing? You know, you look amazing. What's happening? So by the time I moved to L.A., which was just 3 years ago, I was ready for another change. I mean, obviously the move itself was a huge change. But I was, I knew that when I was making that move that there was probably another big change for me.
Right.
And so once I kind of got myself established here, that's when I decided to go back to school and just to take all this stuff that I was learning and to actually get a degree as a health coach.
Great.
It was clearly where my, you know, where my life was going to.
So were you working at the time at a, like an...
I'm still interior design. You know.
Oh, you were still doing that. Okay.
Yeah, and I love that. It's a beautiful creative outlet for me. Color is one of my favorite passions. And, of course, I'm also used some color as a wellness modality as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm incorporating that. But I really, you know what I want, Linda, for people to know?
Yes.
I really want people to, I want people to feel the incredible vitality that I have now.
Okay.
I mean, I'm in my 50s, and I feel and look better than I ever had.
You look amazing.
Yeah, you know, really. I mean, I think about back, and I, other than when I was a little kid, I don't think I've ever felt this right in my body and in my head.
So what are you attributing that to, if you could?
Well, I think it's just, it's lifestyle, it's learning, it's, you know, it's just getting that clarity, all of those things that go together. It's that whole mind and body connection, being open to learn new things, I think is huge.
Loving yourself enough to want to make the
change. Loving myself
enough to want to make the change. Listeners, that for all of you out there. Not anything that Sharon needed to hear me say, but for all of you that are out there from Sharon's story, deciding that you look in the mirror and that you deserve and want better for yourself, and only you can make that happen, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not easy. So,
it's not
easy. No. It's a long road. It can be a really, really long, well, it is a long road.
Yeah, it is.
Very long road to recovery. Mm-hmm.
I felt really great because that not long ago, someone reached out to me, you know, as I've been just kind of starting to share more of my story. And she asked me if I could help her reduce her cravings for alcohol.
Okay.
And didn't take me much of a beat. And I said, yes, of course. But I asked her to wait a couple weeks. So I was starting to do some research that I thought might make things easier because, you see, I really had to think that through nutrition, all the things that I was learning, that I could really make cravings and addiction easier to get over. Because it's not about willpower. I want people to understand that. Don't look at people and go, well, they don't have enough willpower. Because using willpower sucks. I mean, it sucks.
I can talk about it.
I know.
I'm a sugar girl. You and I have had this conversation many times.
It's not about that. And white knuckling it is not fun, and it's really difficult to get through. And actually, I was just talking to my daughter about this earlier this morning as I was kind of mentally getting ready to do this call.
Right.
I told her, you know, I've come to a realization. I think that I was able to do it, you know, get through, because the rate of people that relapse in addiction is huge.
Okay.
And I have to think that I was able to do it so that I could share this therapy and my story with others. I really, truly believe that. I think
there's
a reason that I was, I don't know if you want to call it divinely, spiritually, you want to call it.
Yes, you are. I keep telling you that. I agree.
Well, totally. I know you have, Linda, and I, you know, it really just sunk in and really centered my body this morning.
Yay.
That, you know, they're really, that was the reason that I could share this with other people. Because, you know, now I can work with nutritional therapies for food and food and mood balancing.
Sharon, you and I have talked a lot. I love that. That's huge. The mood balancing, if, you know, I've been trying to keep quiet, but now you got me so excited because, I want to give you some feedback and let you know that I've been walking into Whole Foods and Irwan because, listeners, we both live in the Los Angeles area, and I'm constantly saying to people that are working there, you know what, I hear myself, okay, I'm alcohol-free, I'm gluten-free, I'm caffeine-free, and I stopped doing it about 2 weeks ago because I thought, like, I'm sounding like I'm a huge, big shot. You know what, don't think that when stuff comes up, you know, that first of all, I feel I'm in my middle years. I'm postmenopausal. I feel like my energy can kind of get low, and I know that I may be low on serotonin or dopamine. And then what do I think of right away, even when I get upset? Like yesterday, I wanted sugar. I found myself running right to the kitchen, and I wasn't really hungry, but it was almost like I was doing it mindlessly without even thinking. Yeah.
It's not hunger. It's trying to get your body right. Your mind, like, I want to feel good.
Right.
I want to feel good. We want.
You can help
good.
Me, woman. I'll be one of your first. I'll be one of your first guineas. Because really, I must really share is that I talked about my story on the air as well, and I didn't realize the relapse I had emotionally after I got off that show was. I ran to the kitchen, and I was ravenous, for a lack of another word. I thought I was starving.
Right.
It came over me so insatiably that I went for vegetables, and I went, oh, my God, I don't want this. I want chocolate.
Of course. The feel-good.
Well, by the end of the night, I found my daughter had some superfood, but she had chocolate stashed, and I really must say on the air, I ate the whole bag, not just a handful in the palm of my hand.
I understand.
Oh, yeah. I feel better telling someone now. And I thought this morning, who can I talk to? You know, it's we punish ourselves so much, right? There's so much self-deprecation. Like
absolutely.
And, you know, there's so many pieces of it, right? Like, what's happening physiologically? What happened to me yesterday physiologically? Was my body craving sugar? Was it emotional? Was it physiological? What was it?
You know, it could have been part of both, and that's why it's a complex thing. But, you probably, your emotions, you had so many bubbling up, because I know that was a really, really amazing call that you did yesterday.
Thank
and you,
you
really shared a lot. And so you had a lot of things come up,
mm-hmm.
and you needed to reach for a little bit of comfort.
I did.
And so, what's comfort? You know, what
2 years ago, it was a glass of wine, Sharon.
Right.
And
right.
3 years ago, it was 2 glasses of white wine.
Uh-huh.
And that was a period of my life for only about 2 or 3 years when I made my move. I had never really had anything to drink before. And when someone said to me, you're craving the sugar, that's when I said, goodbye, alcohol.
Well, that's the thing, too, people don't often understand is that, first of all, an amazing amount of alcoholics are hypoglycemic. There's a huge food alcohol-sugar combination there.
Oh.
But one of the things that I really enjoy about not only knowing about the nutritional part and the neurotransmitters and all of that is that by adding in the coaching element of why you're reaching for that substances like that sugar and the white processed food, another huge one in alcohol, and then I can offer people better coping skills. That's what I call my 1-2 punch. You know, it's like,
say to you. We have 80 seconds left, which means we have a minute left right now, and I am going back east, but when I come back, if you want your first guinea, that can get on Facebook there and literally put, and I'm this is an offering to you, that I have no problem sharing the fact that I was drinking and I was drinking because of the sugar. If there's any way that I am able to just get you on your path, because, I mean, you're there, but if you need your first little guinea pig when I get back, I am her. I could use the help. I want to, in 30 seconds, ask you if you could give the listeners 2 things real quick. Your takeaway and how they can reach you and contact you. And then I need to thank you and say I can't wait to interview you live in the fall
Great.
For Trailblazers.
Oh, thank you, Linda.
So we will do this again. What is your takeaway?
My takeaway is just that, reach out. If you're thinking that you have problems with any of this, if you need new coping skills, mm-hmm. Reach out. There's things to do instead of grabbing for that quick gratification.
Amazing. You know, how do the viewers find you in 10 seconds? And then we have break.
SharonOtnesFoot.com.
Okay, SharonOtnesFoot.com. Sharon, thank you so much. You
thank
are
you,
a brave warrior and a trailblazer. You did a beautiful job, and I need to invite you back for an hour live so that everybody can see your beautiful you that you've recreated.
Oh.
Yeah,
I want to
wish everyone a beautiful summer. I'm off to head back east for the month of July, but we'll continue on with our summer trailblazer series. All my love to all. Have a wonderful time, and I will be in touch with you soon. Be well, everyone. Have a great day.